Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Spotify Green Room. It's a live audio-only sports talk platform. It's free to download and use. Talk to other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. And you can share your own experiences on the app. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS App Store or Google Play Store. Create a profile, link your Twitter, and join a group. And come in with your spiciest takes. Spotify Green Room, check it out. All right, guys, welcome to our Pit Panther Rants and our Sports Rants podcast. It's brought to you by the sports drink, gulp, gulp, sip, sip, whatever their thing is. Also, this is Vlad Harris here. And guys, it's game week. So I'm coming in with my pit preview and some other discussions. My kids have been back in school for about a week now, and you know, life has been good. So far they've been adjusting pretty well to it. I mean, my oldest is walking home from school. My two younger ones are doing pretty well. Although now their allergies are a mess because, well, they've been pretty much in isolation for the last year and a half. And, well, you know, just it happens. But it's game week, guys. Well, college football was on Saturday, but it kind of wasn't. UCLA played at Hawaii. I mean, if you consider that a game. Nebraska played Illinois to kick things off, and, well, I really didn't watch any of it. I mean, if I felt like it, I would have turned it on, but I didn't. But Saturday, I'm definitely going to turn it on. And I'm pick up a television for this Saturday because I'm definitely going to need one because I want to watch college football. But let's talk about some things here. Last week, the alliance was formed between the ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12. And what's great about it was I did the podcast in my car about it, but I didn't upload it because there was some more information in regards to it. Now, we all know what the SEC did. They added Texas and Oklahoma. And now there's some hysteria going on that there's going to be a super conference formed now, which is pretty obvious because where does the SEC go next for their teams? Well, Clemson and Florida State, I guess, supposedly reached out because they were looking out for their interests. I'm not sure if Clemson really did. Florida State definitely did because Florida State's done this before, or they've just been ever since. Expansion happened, you know, almost a decade ago. Well, actually, it's about, yeah, pretty much a decade ago. They were pretty much out for their own interests. They were worried about how things were progressing with the ACC. And they were obviously looking, you know, for other things. Now, there was that fun rumor that Florida State and Clemson were going to join the Big 12, which was pretty much brought up by West Virginia fans for the most part. I mean, they did leak Pitt to the Big Ten. So this is early when people were basically, you know, believing things on social media. Well, they kind of still do now. I mean, let's be honest. We've gotten really, social media has made a lot of us lazy. I'm sure people in the media too, because they use it more for their gathering their sources than actually going and, you know, using actual sources. But if you look at this on the level, It's basically saying the Pac-12, Big Ten, and ACC are basically saying, hey, you know, let's just hang out sometime and grab some coffee. You know, I know we're all busy, but let's just have some coffee and or you know, let's grab some lunch or something sometime. That's really what this agreement really is, to be honest with you. There's nothing written in stone. I mean, there's no written agreement. It's just saying, hey, let's hang out sometime. Let's play each other. You know, let's play G.I. Joes together sometime. Let's do gaming. Let's play Doom together. You know, like those Doom death matches from back in the day, or like Duke Nukem, where you guys roll. You know, where you guys roll on the network together on a LAN, and you guys all you know played as a team. You know, that's basically really all this is. It's, hey, let's just hang out sometime, because there's obviously a mass hysteria that there's going to be with the expansion of playoffs. There's going to be a super conference formed. And it's a possibility. It still is. But I think the conferences are in fear of that. I mean, because let's be honest, if the Big 12 is in danger of imploding, and Jesus, all these damn crickets outside. I think they're cicadas, I think. And it's weird because, you know, this whole damn summer, it sounds like the predator's been out in my damn trees. Every time I go outside, I feel like the predator's just hanging out in the trees, looking to freaking hack myself into pieces. But yeah, there's talk about the Big 12 trying to merge with the AAC. I wouldn't mind a Thursday night game between West Virginia and South Florida. I mean, they can bring back that old rivalry. I mean, they had some fun games Thursday nights is what I'm thinking. Yeah, Thursday night or Tuesday night game between West Virginia and South Florida, you know, at Raymond James, you know, with Stephen Moffitt, Pat White, you know, a pack Raymond James. That'd be awesome. Or even a West Virginia-Cincinnati game. I mean, bring back the old Big East rivalries. That'd be awesome. I think if the Big 12 is going to do anything, if they're going to try to keep their core together, their best bet would be to get some Florida schools. Central Florida and South Florida would be two schools I would get. Big enrollments. I mean, you definitely want to get Central Florida at least, because you need if you're going to... If you're going to expand your presence in Florida. I mean, go somewhere. Because right now, there's no... It's going to be like the Big East, where, you know, they'll be united, but only to a certain extent. And Heather Lyke did mention that they are currently happy with their 14-team ACC. So I don't think in short, I don't think the ACC is going to expand unless they really need to. And I think they really don't right now. I mean, you know, with Texas and Oklahoma, it just is what, you know, going to the SEC, it just is what it is. And that's really just that. I mean, I think, if the Big 12 is done and implodes, the ACC is probably going to be next. But, I mean, that's a long road to talk about because, for one thing, it's going to take a hell of a lot to form a mega conference. And I think that's really what the Big Ten is afraid of right now because, I mean, if I'm the SEC, I call up Penn State and offer them an invite saying, hey, you know, we know how the Big Ten's been treating you since you've been there. Why don't you just come here and play with us? Then, you know, if Penn State joins, then the other schools are like, well, you know, maybe Ohio State says, well, yeah, this isn't going to bode well for us. Maybe we should, you know. In short, the biggest losers are going to be the conferences themselves if this mega conference forms. And they really don't want that to happen. I mean, if you're the Big Ten, when your conference caters to Ohio State and Michigan sucks, all you have is Ohio State. Well, this is what happens. I mean, for the most part. So, you know, at one time the Big Ten was the cream. It was the cream of the crop conference. I mean, they still do a lot of revenue. I mean, their network is doing fine, but you know, it's. But the SEC has their own network. I mean, they just have a, you know, they're every year they're regarded as the toughest conference in college football. And the Big Ten one time had that. Now they don't. I think a lot of it, though, can be attributed to ESPN's attitude towards the Big Ten once the Big Ten network was formed. I felt that, like, I felt that the momentum, because the big, you know, ESPN used to really hype up the Big Ten. But then when the Big Ten formed their own network, it seemed like ESPN's attitude towards them changed and they went more to the SEC. That's just, you know, just my observation. So in short, I don't see Pitt playing Penn State because of this agreement, because it's verbal. You know, I mean, if we see something, we see something, but it's from this, but I don't see a whole lot right now. Nothing really to be too crazy about. Let's look at Pitt. And let me tell you about Spotify Green Room. It's the live, audio-only sports talk platform. It's free to download and use. You can talk to other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. Perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. You can share experiences on the app. Just go to the App Store for Apple or go to Play Store for Google. Download it. Create your profile, link your Twitter. It's almost like a Twitter account. You know, basically, it's almost like, you know, if someone goes live on Instagram and you're all chatting. I did that last night. I was supposed to go to bed, and of course, I'm on IG Live watching the Jake Paul and Woodley fight. And I think what got people going was the fact that Jake Paul almost got knocked out in the fourth round. I mean, he got clubbed pretty good. We were all hoping for something in the next four rounds, but it came up short. And really, I mean, I know people want Jake Paul to be knocked out, but there's a big difference between boxing and UFC. And, excuse me, I'm drinking water. And UFC, obviously, there's plenty of tackling, grappling, and whatever. There's punching, but, you know, it's a little different. Boxing, you're just standing around, you're looking up, you know, obviously you're moving around, you're standing up, and you're, you know, it's a little different. So that's why you're always going to bet someone like Jake Paul over his opponents. And of course, there's money to be made in this as well. So I'm sure maybe we get a rematch. But let's take a look at Pitt this year. Let's go back to last year. Pitt finished 6-5 last year, 5-5 in conference. They were undefeated in their non-conference schedule for the first time ever. Their only game, obviously, was against Austin Peay, but undefeated is undefeated. They defeated them 55-0. Excuse me. I should pause it when I'm drinking water, but whatever. They beat Austin Peay 55-0. Then they beat Syracuse, which Pitt was a heavy... I think Pitt was a big favorite in this one, and Syracuse ended up covering because Pitt struggled the entire game. This was a game where Pitt should have put them away early, and they just kept them in it. Same with Louisville as well. We won that game. We won that game as well by 3 points, but then eventually it came back to bite us against NC State, and we lost late in the game, 30-29. Then Boston College happened. Phil Jerkovic kind of had our number that game, and we lost 31-30 thanks to a missed extra point in overtime. We tied it. Well, we scored the touchdown, and we were about to tie, but we shanked the extra point. And we found it was one of those games where Pitt finds a creative way to lose it, because Pitt's usually guaranteed at least find one game where they creatively, you know, where they're very creative in losing it, and this was one of them. Kenny Pickett was hurt. So we had to play Miami basically without a quarterback, and we lost 31-19. We could have actually won this game. If we'd had a quarterback, we probably would have won this game, but we didn't. Then we had to play Notre Dame the next week, and they obliterated us 45-3. So Pitt started out at 3-0, then they lost their next four games. Yep. And then, obviously, we're on a ledge at that point. So, Paris Ford opts out. And so, he went to get himself ready for the draft. At least we thought he was, because, you know, he never got drafted. And now he's on the waiver wire now, because he hardly made it through preseason. Actually, he didn't make it through preseason at all. So, I'm not sure what he did from, you know, I'm not sure what he did from October 24th up until, you know, then. I hope whatever it was constructive. Now let's get back on subject here. They beat Florida State 41-17. They beat Virginia Tech 47-14. So Pitt, you know, they beat the crap out of their next two opponents to go 5-4. Then they met their fate against Clemson, losing 52-17. Then they beat Georgia Tech 34-20. So Pitt finished 6-5. Now let's look at their schedule for this year. And how we're looking at this. They got UMass opening at Heinz Field. They should have won that one. Tennessee is a noon game. And here's the thing. If Pitt's going to have an 8-10 win season, this game right here is probably going to determine that. If they lose this game, or barely lose it, I mean, or barely win it, you're looking at probably at a 7-5, 8-4 season again. But if they win convincingly in Knoxville, then probably you're looking at maybe an 8 to possibly 10 win season. Maybe more, who knows? But that's pretty much going to be the deal breaker there, I think. So I have them, let's give them a loss for that one. In fact, let's look at Tennessee's team this year, actually. Now let's look at their preview right now. Let's see. They were dead last. Their offense wasn't that good, but it looks like Tennessee has quarterback issues, so that will kind of help them a little bit. I mean, it looks like they've lost some. They've had some losses on defense, but still, they're Tennessee. So let's look at their top players. It looks like they're deep on quarterback. That sucks. I'm just looking at them, but yeah, they're looking pretty. He ran over 1,000 yards at Virginia. Okay, so Hendon Hooker is he played for Virginia Tech, and he might be the guy this year. So. Well, at the end of the day, it's still the SEC, so I'm going to take a loss for that one. So Pitt starts out 1-1. Western Michigan, they should win that game 2-1. New Hampshire 3-1. Georgia Tech 4-1. Tech is still a work in progress, but it may be a tough game. Now they got Virginia Tech. Tech is going to be a lot better than last year. So it's at Blacksburg, so 4-2. Clemson 4-3. That's a given. Miami, we're at home. It doesn't matter how bad Miami is. We always find a way to lose to them one way or the other. So I'm going to go a loss there. We beat Duke because it's Duke. We lose to North Carolina and we're 5-5, and all of a sudden we're 5-5. And I think we pull out a win against Virginia and we pull out a win against Syracuse to finish 7-5. So I'm giving it 7-5. Yeah, because that's how it's going to go. We're going to start off hot, then we're going to lose a bunch of games, and then our season's going to come to the crossroads, and we're going to be like, well, we fire our doozy, we keep them, what do we do? They pull two wins out of their ass, and maybe they win a bowl game. And then we get to hear about, you know, optimism for next year, and all these articles will come out about how, well, this Pitt team is better than last year. Don't count them out, although Kenny Pickett is gone. Yeah, don't count them out. They're going to be a lot better this year. Or maybe I just eat my words. Maybe Pitco's 10-2 or whatever. I don't know. We'll see. I know. Some people are saying maybe the pandemic had some. You know, it was tough from last year. Well, I mean, maybe if Kenny doesn't get hurt. Well, the Boston College game was one thing. But we were without Kenny the next week against Miami. I mean, those are two games that maybe we could have turned the tide with, and we just didn't. I mean, was there any games we could turn? No, Clemson we obviously couldn't have turned the tide with. NC State was another game we could have turned the tide. I mean, there was three losses in a row. NC State and Boston College, we should have won. Maybe the team finishes a lot better. They'd have been. Let's see, 7 overall. Let's see, 8-3 at that point. But. Well, actually, you know what? They'd have been 9-2 because their only two losses would have been Notre Dame and Clemson. But, you know, it just didn't happen. Nope, never happens. So let's take a look at some of the write-ups here. If you guys want a good write-up and you really, you know, especially from a newspaper, and you really don't, and you're sick of the Trib or the Post-Gazette or for whatever reason, check out the Trib Democrat, Johnstown Tribune Democrat. Amanda Gotze did a write up here, and if you check it out, she's got the Pitt schedule lined up for you, and she's got the whole roster lined up for you as well of the list of players. And she actually, you know, she pretty much does a good breakdown of what's going on with it. Pitt obviously lost 9 players last year to the NFL, but they have 13 quote unquote super seniors. Like I said, she does mention the Pickett injury from last season. That played a role in what was going on. And on top of that, Pitt's replacing two members of their staff. I mean, they Rob Harley, the linebackers coach, left, and Chris Beatty, who was a really good receivers coach, he left. So Pitt tapped in Ryan Malik, one of his former players, and of course, to do the linebackers, and of course, Homewood native Brennan Marion, who coached the lead of wide receivers. And of course, she says Pitt has picked to finish 4th on the Coastal, which is pretty fair. And obviously, Pitt has a whole bunch of weapons on offense for receiver. I mean, they have Kenny back, and of course, they have Jordan Addison, Shockey Jockey, Louise. They got Taysier Mack. I think my breakout player is going to be Taysier Mack this year because Addison's a hell of a talent, but they, you know, Taysier, you know, he was one of Pitt's top targets, and last year he was hurt and he kind of fell back behind the thing, and now I think this year I think he's going to be more motivated than ever to get himself back to where he needs to be. So I think having him back, but I mean Pitt's going to have a plethora of targets on for receiver. You know, Trey Tipton's back, Jerry Wayne's back. I mean, it's a pretty loaded. They have a pretty loaded receiver. I mean, there's so much depth. I'm not really worried about that. Tight end is going to be an obvious issue because they have, you know, Lucas Kroll is going to be back. You know, he was hurt. You know, Gavin Bartholomew, Kyrie Wright. There's going to, you know, they're expected, you know, contribute as well. So, and of course, they're very confident about their offense this year. The big issue is going to be the offensive line and running game. The offensive line's got to protect Kenny, and they got to keep him, you know, durable, keep him from getting his ass kicked. And, of course, the running game has to emerge somewhere. A running back has to emerge. Nobody really has. Vincent Davis was leading rusher, and half of his yards came against Georgia Tech, pretty much. But, I mean, they have Todd Sibley and Daniel Carter. I mean, that's some veteran leadership there. Vincent Davis, obviously. Israel Evan Iconda is going to be the starter, obviously. But Pitt just needs something here. We'll see what happens. But supposedly he can run. He's explosive. But we'll see. Defensively, we lost some players. But I think we're going to be fine. I mean, our front four, Desmond Alexander, Baldonado, John Morgan, Deion Hayes. I mean, Pitt's going to be pretty much you know, pretty good at the front line, I believe. And linebacker, they're going to be very experienced. I mean, Keyshawn Camp is back. Well, actually, no, you know what? That's not linebackers. I'm scrolling way too ahead of myself. But let's go back to the defensive line because, yeah, Keyshawn Camp's back. They got Devin Danielson, Tyler Bentley. I mean, they got some guys back in the front line. Of course, now going back to linebacker again, Pitt's pretty deep in this position. They got Servosia Dennis. He's back. He stood out last year, and he's back again. They got Cam Bright, Phil Campbell. And, of course, they got Wendell Davis. And, of course, don't forget Chase Pine as well. So, I mean, you got that as well. And, of course, looks like John Petrosyan will be playing a linebacker as well. So you got Pitt's pretty deep in that thing. Secondary, I mean, they lost some good guys, but you got Damari Mathis back, Marquise Williams, A.J. Woods, M.J. Devonshire could challenge as well. And you got, of course, you got Brandon Hill and Eric Hallett, you know, at safety. So I mean, you're looking pretty good here. Of course, long snapper for special teams, Kel Adamidas. Kirk Christodoulou, who's really emerged. I mean, we were hard on him early in his time at Pitt. He's really developed into a decent punter. So, that's pretty good. Now, of course, you know, the kicking game is going to be an obvious, you know, head scratcher as always. Let's hope they don't. Let's see here. Ben Sauls and Sam Scarton. So, of course, still some uncertainty in the kicking game, but obviously, I have a 7-5 this year. On paper, it looks really good. I mean, it really does. They look really good. I mean, that's what's crazy about Pitt is they always look so good and they sound so good on paper, but it never transforms into what you want. There's been a lot of seasons where Pitt could have won 9 or 10 games on paper, the way the schedule looked. And they'll have it together on offense. One season, their offense has it together, their defense doesn't. The next season, their defense has it together, their offense doesn't. And then sometimes it's a combination of both. They just never can put a complete thing together. It's been like this since maybe the Wanstead era where where Dave may have had really good players at almost every position, but there was that one disastrous position and teams used it as our weakness. It's a lot of things. But anyways, guys, hell to Pitt. I'm going to leave it here. And, we'll talk about the conference later this year. But, I mean, not later. Later this week of how I feel it's going to end up. But, yeah, I got them 7-5 this year. It could be more, but that's just how I see it. All right, guys, bye.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.